Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to continue today on our series of Paul's letter of instruction that he wrote to his protege, Timothy. We read this here in 1 Timothy. And Paul understood that there were some very serious issues that were arising in the church that he planted at Ephesus. And we talked about some of those specifics last week. And to deal with these issues, Paul had sent Timothy to encourage the church and to challenge and to confront some leaders within the church, and to bring some order and some correction within the church. Now, I know that we think that church is here to make us all happy and to do, you know, but actually the church is here to help make us holy, right? Hello. And so part of that is, you know, a lot of times churches focus on the fellowship dinners and the events and whatnot. But the truth is, there are some areas in our lives that need correction. And to that end, the church has a calling to help build the body of Christ up. So we have a calling not just to enjoy life with one another, which is a wonderful thing, but we have a calling. Everybody say calling to help one another grow. Husbands and wives, you have a calling to do life together, but also to help propel each other towards Christ. Families have this calling to help to build each other up in Christ. And we as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ have a calling to build one another up in our faith and our walk with the Lord. And now, so Timothy is sent to confront some issues that were not allowing this to happen. And the truth is that church life, for those people who've walked in the church all of their life, church life at times can be hard. It can be wonderful, and praise God for the wonderfulness, but there are some times where people swing and miss, you know, because we're an imperfect people. Now, last week we looked at some church signs that missed the mark, and some of those were kind of funny. Today, I'd like to share just a couple of church announcements. These actually went in bulletins, and shall we say the editor missed the block on this. So let's look at the first one here. This was actually in a church. If you need to heave during the postlude, please do so quietly. Either their music needed prayer or somebody just missed that here. I like this one. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Sounds like they really needed to. Now, I didn't put this one in. This one's not on the board, but I saw this one later. Someone forwarded it. Great news. Doctors have performed a CAT scan on Pastor McLaren's head and report they found nothing. I didn't put that one in because you may have said my name. Anyway, this was my favorite. The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday. I upped my pledge. Up yours. I'm sorry. I just thought that was funny. I'll get an email on that. That's all right. It's Independence Day. This one was another funny. This evening at 7 p.m., there'll be a hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. That's probably more accurate than the G is important. We have a missing G here. Okay. All right. This is another one. I took the name out. Blank remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is having, she's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of pastor's blank sermons. That hurt. One final one that again didn't make the cut, but I thought this one was pretty funny. It says the church is glad to have with us today as our guest minister, the Reverend Ralph Green, who has Mrs. Green with him. After the service, we request that all remain in the sanctuary for the hanging of the greens. What a way to start Advent. Anyway, you know, all right, just a little bit of lightheartedness here, because, you know, people swing and miss sometimes. I mean, there are some times that we have every best intention, and sometimes, you know, it just doesn't quite go as we hope. The church is full of imperfect people, okay? But how do we deal with imperfect folk? How do we deal with the imperfectness that we all bring to the table? Well, 1 Timothy has some great stuff for us as we looked last week. And today we're going to look at a key element that we find in chapter 2. And I tell you what, this is critical. This is really, really important. If you recall last week, we ended chapter 1 with Paul urging Timothy to confront some false teachers, primarily Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom Paul had put out of the fellowship because of their unrepentant hearts in teaching heresy. And I want you to know that church leadership, it's crucial. And few things damage the community, damage churches, damage Christians, damage unbelievers like mistakes that are made by church leaders. Okay, leaders, first of all, let me say this. Leaders are not any better of people than any other person within the church, okay? God loves the brand new convert every bit as much as the journeyman pastor, okay? The young child in a Sunday school class has just as much worth and value as the person who's for 70 years has attended every single Sunday school class, never missed a sermon or a Sunday school class. In fact, much more responsibility is given to the mature in Christ. Okay? So church leadership is important. Now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, first of all, that's important, okay? First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for who? For all people. For kings and for all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of our God, in sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. So I have a couple thoughts here looking at chapter 2 about how we are to relate with one another. How we are to relate with imperfect people. Remember my dad used to work for a plastics division. One of his jobs was to help create the chemical formulas when Mobile Chemical had hefty trash bags, and then they had these sandwich bags. When they first came up with those, you know, he's working on those, and there was a slogan for Glad sandwich bags. It said, "Don't get mad, get glad." Okay, and that and they always would kind of have the thing, and the person's potato chips would get soggy in there. And so we always had tons of those little baggies because they would make them, and he'd kind of bring his work home with them that way, which was kind of cool. But what we have found happens a lot of times when we're dealing with one another, when we're dealing with what we're just going to call church folk, you know, our brothers and sisters in church, is we don't necessarily do that. A lot of times we just get mad and we get quiet and we get irritated and we talk to everyone else and we leave somebody out of that equation in how we relate to one another. So my first point today is pray first. Pray first. I like how Paul starts. Paul starts this portion of scripture with, first of all, then. So if I say first of all, in a matter of instructions, which order, what should be the in order of succession, what should be the first thing that happens? Prayer. As we read here, first of all, pray. I kind of tripped on that verse this morning because what I found is prayer usually is last of all pray when everything else hasn't worked. Most of the times we try to fix it, we try to deal with it, we try to do everything within our power and our intellect, because after all, we're very smart people. We try to fix situations before we pray about situations. And then if the our efforts aren't successful, if we still have relationship problems, then we bring other people in. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? You know, Mr. Harrison, I'd like to talk to you about Mr. Belford. Can we just have a conversation? I just mean this for prayer, right? Yeah. You know, who should we be talking to first? Come on, gang. First of all, pray. First of all, pray. First of all, then pray. In dealing with church folk, my dear church family, pray first. You know, talk with God before you engage someone else. That is very, very important for us to understand, because I think that how we would talk to other people about a situation, here's just my thought. It would be a whole lot different if you talked to God first. Chew on that one for a moment. If you talked to God first before you sat down at the coffee table with somebody else, don't you think your conversation might be just a little bit different? Come on here. All right. Did I need to shoot fireworks off to get your attention this morning? Here we go. You see, this is important. So he says, but then he goes on and he breaks it out. He says, first of all, then, requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. There's four different words in the Greek. So it's not just a matter of saying, God help me with Mr. Belford. That's not the prayer he's talking about. He says, requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Four different words. And what we gleaned, we had a sermon about this last year. What we glean from these words is you're supposed to talk to God as an individual is going before a king who has authority over you and over the rest of the situation. So you're going humbly and in submission, desiring his will to be done. And then we see the next word, prayers, is almost always in scripture tied together with prayers and fasting. Prayers and fasting. And what we glean from that is your prayers have to have a willingness for action. How many of you have ever prayed for something, but you really weren't willing for God to give any answer other than the one you wanted? Dear God, it goes something like this. God, if you don't want me to buy this new fill in the blank, give me a sign. And actually something happens. No. I just want a real, just talk. Yeah, and three things happen. Yeah, you're really not open to that. Okay, pray, willing to listen. He says intercession, pray for the other person. Pray for their needs. Pray for their needs. And also thanksgivings. You know, it's hard to be mad at somebody if you spend some time being thankful for them. How can I do this? Lord, I'm thankful for Mr. Belford. Because he makes me more patient. No. That's not what I'm talking about. The truth is, we recognize if we would take some time to consider the good in others, we wouldn't spend so much time focusing on the bad. Let me give you just a little example of what I'm talking about. You'll see it. Last week, there was a huge stir that was made in the news. And you saw probably 3/4 of the news footage focused on a female hammer throw athlete that got third place. And the third place person got 20 times more press than the gold medal and the silver medalists. In fact, more people could say who won the bronze than could identify who won the silver and gold. Why? Because people are somehow drawn. We're like piranhas. We just want to find and focus on the negative. Thanksgiving is an important thing for us to understand. So in dealing with, in coming to the Lord in prayer, pray, request, intercede, give thanks. Why? Because church leadership is hard. Now here he's focusing on, we're talking about all people because he says pray for all people, but then he focuses on leaders. And why is this important today? Because church leaders today are really, they have a difficult time. Church leadership is tough. Paradigms have shifted in the past 18 months. Church paradigms have shifted a lot with the pandemic. And a lot of us want to say, oh, well, it didn't do anything to the world and to the religious world. No, in fact, it did. It did. You know, we're above the bar, but the national average is less than half of people have actually returned to in-person worship. Okay? And as we mentioned when we started our summer series, there are folks who we'd just rather, you know, go to church in our jammies, which I think that would be cool. You wouldn't like seeing me in my footy jammies, but that's just another thing. And again, if you're here today, we just want to say God bless you. Those of you who are on vacation, we want to say God bless you. Those of you who are traveling, we want to say God bless you. Those of you who are just, you know, just not here, we want to say we love you, and man, we miss you. And we'd love, no condemnation, but please consider joining together. Recent Barna research, I just read this week, shows that in the post-Christian society, only 21% of non-Christians have a positive perception of the local church. Less than 21% have a positive thought about the church. We are inundated, and kids are now taught from a very young age to distrust church, to distrust Christians. Less than half of non-Christians in the USA trust local pastors. And some of that is, you know, there's lots of press given to pastors who mess up, and I totally understand that, and they should be held to a higher standard. Higher levels of divisiveness within Christianity is the norm now. I mean, we have major denominations that are splitting over how to respond to the LGBTQA+ community in love, as well as preserving a faithfulness to Scripture. You see denominations splitting over issues here, where we are called to hold the authenticity of God's Word. And what happens? The world sees this, and they see us arguing with each other, and they see us fighting with each other. They see us compromising in God's Word. People seem more ready to argue than pray. Now, contextually, Paul addresses prayers for leadership even beyond the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and 4 says, "For kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the church." And so my next point for us today is pray for those in authority. Point 2, pray for those in authority. They need our prayers. Now, in let's look at today. It's Independence Day. And so as we celebrate Independence Day, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think our governmental leaders need prayer. Would anybody agree with that? But what I found is it seems that Christians somehow lead the charge and not praying first, but having lots of conversation. And sometimes I can be guilty of this as well. Our governmental leaders need our prayers more than our destructive comments. Do you believe that? We can do more by talking to God on behalf of them and praying for our leaders than we can in tearing them down. Now, understand this. There's something in the DNA of being an American citizen. There's something in our DNA that wants to march down and throw tea into the harbor. Okay? There's something in us that it feels kind of American to question our leaders. Going back to that situation last week, I mean, what a tremendous expression of the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. As I consider, you know, other countries, if I consider a Chinese athlete who stood on the podium and decided to disrespect their country, or a Russian athlete who did that, or a Cuban, I mean, again, we have something wonderful in our nation that we have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of expression. That's a wonderful thing, right? But as Christians, I gotta tell you, your citizenship as a citizen of the United States of America should be secondary to your citizenship in heaven. You should be a Christian first. And Americans, because I gotta tell you, this nation will pass, but the kingdom of God will endure forever. It feels good and it feels American to bash our leaders. And much of what we see getting done certainly is deserving of criticism. And Christians should be engaged in our political processes. And it was certainly so in the founding of our nation. John Adams, as Bob mentioned earlier, the second president of the United States, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, he grew up in the Congregational Church, and he wrote in his diary on February 22nd, 1756. Okay? 1756, two decades earlier. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience, in temperance, frugality, to industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. And he goes on to conclude this in his diary. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be? Yeah. Paul lets us know that we are to pray for our leaders. And here's why. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Maybe the reason that we have so much division is because the church is too busy taking part in it and is very, very slow to pray. Very, very slow to pray. He tells us that Paul says that this is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. You want to please God? Talk to Him. Pray. Pray for leaders. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray. Give thanks. Intercede. Make requests on their behalf. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, the church is called to unity and we have a culture. In my lifetime, this is the paramount thing that I've seen is that our culture now, with the advent of social media and the advent of the smartphone and all of this digital connection, our culture doesn't realize that the owners of this get rich on stoking divisiveness. Social media fans the flames of divisiveness, and very quickly Christians lose their salt engaging in such things. We get mired in argument or stuck in echo chambers, but we forsake our great calling to really make a difference through prayer. I'm calling us to pray for our leaders, to pray for one another as we deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so here's what Paul alludes to will come for our prayer for those in authority, that we could live peaceful, quiet lives. That would be very, very nice. One final verse here. Let's focus one more time on this verse. I desire then that in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. Brothers and sisters, the more time we spend talking with God, the less time we spend arguing with one another. I believe that with all my heart. The more time that we spend talking with God, the less time we would spend arguing with one another. So, here's what I'd like to do today. I would like us to pray together. My final point is this. Pray together. Pray together. Let's just put into practice what we've talked about for the past few moments. Let's pray for our nation's leaders instead of griping about them, instead of pointing out obvious flaws, instead of being all up and all. Let's do something constructive. Would you like to join me to do something constructive, church? Let's do that. And if you'd like to stand, you're welcome to stand. You don't have to, but you are welcome to. If you'd like to lift your hands in surrender to God, in supplication to God, you are welcome to. Is anyone going to think strangely or oddly of somebody from lifting their hands to God here today? Does everybody give permission for someone to do that? Okay, so look, so no one's going to think oddly of you. Do what you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do, but let's pray. Join me, I'd be happy to lead us, and I'm going to give us a few moments of silent prayer as well. So it's going to be awkward, and you're going to hear things, and we get it. We love families here, and so kids may struggle with that silence. That's okay. Just focus on God, right? Let's pray for our nation. If you'd like to stand, you're welcome to. You don't have to. Let's pray together. Our great Father in heaven, We come before your throne of mercy and grace, and we honor you as the one true God, almighty, sovereign. Lord, today, as a nation, we are celebrating Independence Day, and yet we realize that as Christians, we are totally dependent. So this nation's holiday kind of goes against the grain of our dependence upon you. And yet we're thankful. Today we want to thank you for the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. We want to thank you that we can come together, that we can gather together in this place to worship you unashamed, that we have the liberty to share our convictions with our brothers and sisters, with our community members, that we can proclaim the gospel. And Lord, we know that there are parts in the world where even just sharing their faith, they can be subject to imprisonment, that they can be set out and persecuted. And yet we have so much liberty here. Forgive us, God, of not using the overwhelming liberties that we have to do your work more fervently. Lord, we are truly sorry. Give us, Lord, a passion that's renewed to share the gospel with this world. Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray for our nation's leaders. We recognize, Father, that every person in position, Lord, you have a divine plan. You knew this. You understood this. So Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We are just coming on behalf, Father, of the Christian community. We are praying, Father, for your counsel and your wisdom. We're lifting them up before you, God. Forgive us, Lord, of being so vicious at times, Lord, for folks when they do things that we disagree with, and we understand, Lord, that you have a divine way and we are called to a greater citizenship than just being parts of this great nation. Lord, we affirm our eternal citizenship. We pray, God, that you would give us words and wisdom in dealing with those with whom we might disagree when decisions that are made that go against your word. Lord, we come to you and we pray. Just as done, Father, in the Old Testament, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if they seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you're gonna hear from heaven, that you're gonna forgive our sin and you're gonna heal our land. And Lord, our nation needs healing. We are deeply divided. It feels like that we're in a national crossroads. It feels that Lord, our ability to worship, somehow we can see that these things are being challenged. And Lord, we just call out to you that you would move upon your church. Give us your words, not our words. Father, we pray for our local leaders, or for our state leaders. We lift them up before you, God. We intercede. We again thank you for this land. We thank you for the communities that we have. We know that there are tons and tons of issues that we're dealing with. But God, the best thing we can do is lift them up before you and pray for your wisdom and counsel to come, to pray for your will to be done in our state and in our community. We pray, Lord, for the pastors in Pike County. We pray for our church leaders. Again, Father, we understand that this is a difficult time, but we pray, Father, that you would empower them to hold true to your word, that we could stand for your kingdom and for your principles. Now, Father, we just take a few moments to pray silently this morning for our leaders, for our community, and for our church family.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.